Today is episode 2, part 2 of the Canaanite woman found in Matthew chapter 15. And we have an exciting episode as we're going to talk about how to pass life's tests. And we know life is full of testing. God uses the circumstances of life to test us. And we're going to find this out in this particular episode. But first of all, let me ask you, do you get offended easily? Do you get hurt easily? Do you hold on to bitterness that so much so it's giving you a hard time to move ahead in life? Well, you know what? That's why I love the story of this particular Canaanite woman, because she is tested with offense. We're going to see that in this story. And not only does she get her blessing, not only does she pass her tests with flying colors, she gets her blessing, but a double blessing. And that's just like God when we pass the spiritual tests of life. But first of all, let's just recap from last time. What did we learn from the Canaanite woman in that first episode? Number one, we saw that she was desperate. She was hungry for the Lord. And that's what God is trying to teach us through his word, that we are to be hungry for him. We are to be desperate for him, whatever situation that we face in life. Hunger and desperation are the key ingredients of just moving forward with God. Number two, she overcame obstacles, and she had lots of obstacles to overcome. First of all, the physical obstacles of just what she was born into in her life. She was a Canaanite woman. She was born into that. She was a woman. She was born into that. That was a huge obstacle of her not receiving her blessing. But today we're going to find out there were so-called greater hindrances. And so we're going to look at that. She was an overcomer. Number three, she was nameless in the Bible. And God uses many nameless characters in the Bible just to show us how relatable they are to our own lives. And so she was nameless. Number four, she was a true believer. She recognized Jesus. She called him the Son of David, but oh, she took it a lot further. She believed in him. She trusted in him. She had that pistevo kind of belief in Jesus, that she knew he was the only one that can answer and help her in her issue. Number five, she was a pursuer of Jesus. She wasn't just a casual believer. You know, so many of us are casual believers. It's, yeah, I believe. But she took it further. Faith without works is dead. And she was a pursuer of Jesus. And number six, she had spiritual insight. You know what? She didn't just come to Jesus because her daughter had some physical need, some earthly need. You know, her daughter just didn't have leprosy or some kind of physical ailment, but she recognized that she needed a spiritual blessing. Her daughter was captivated or held captive by the enemy, and that she needed to be released. And so her daughter needed that spiritual blessing. So let's look into the story of Matthew chapter 15. Let's go straight into it. Verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Test number one, the test of silence. Oh my goodness, you know, when we first read this scripture, we think, was Jesus being rude? Was he being cruel? Like, did he just, was he initially just rejecting her pleas and later on he just changed his mind? No, no, no. This was far deeper than that. He cared more about her need. There was a deeper implication here, and he was testing her faith. You know, just like in the book of Genesis with Abraham, many of us know this story, that God tested Abraham and said, you know what, if you really love me, sacrifice your son to me. And Abraham, you know what, he went all the way. God tested his faith. So Abraham took his son Isaac, put him on an altar, took a knife, was ready to kill him. And what did the Bible say? The Bible says that an angel of the Lord came to stop Abraham's hand. And God said, you know what? Now I know that you really love me, that you did not even withhold your own son. And this is what Jesus was doing with this woman. He was testing her with what she loved most, what was most precious to her. Ladies, what's most precious in your own life? Your children, your husband, your boyfriend? What do you love most? Who do you love most? God is testing you, and that's what he did. He wanted to see what she was made of, wanted to see how desperate she was. You know, some of us really have a hard time with silence, the silent treatment, don't we? You know, when somebody gives us the silent treatment, it's very offensive. It's very hurtful. I remember when I was a kid, sometimes my dad would come home from work and he was just tired or moody. And right after dinner, I would say, Dad, can I just go out and play with my friends? And then he wouldn't even answer me. He wouldn't give me a yes. He wouldn't give me a no. He would give me the silent treatment. It wasn't something that I did, but it was just a mood that he was in. And so give me a yes, give me a no, but don't give me the silent treatment. You know, the silent treatment is almost more deafening than a definitive no, isn't it? We hate the silent treatment. It could be so offensive. Now let's put this into a modern day scenario. You're in your church and you go up to the pastor and you ask him a question and he doesn't even answer you. Would you be offended if the pastor wouldn't answer you? You would probably think, you know what, something's wrong with this pastor. I don't like this pastor. I'm not coming to this church anymore. And you know what? A lot of us do that. A lot of us get offended by the pastor, by the leader, and they leave their churches. I think there's such a great spirit of offense in the church. And people get so hurt that they are not willing to look past the offense and not willing to press on. She did that. People leave the church for the craziest reasons. But this Canaanite woman, you know what? She looked past that. And when we think about people in the church leaving for the craziest reasons, I'm sure you know lots of stories. You know, one of the craziest stories I heard about was actually something that I personally experienced. I remember one time being in our church and I was involved in nursery, and somebody came to visit that morning. She brought her baby into the nursery and I said, hi, how are you? You know, are you part of another church? You just visiting today? Oh, I used to go to such and such, such a church, but I don't go there anymore because they're all hypocrites. So I thought, okay, what happened? And she says, well, and she named somebody from a popular Christian show, and it was this person that she was offended with, and he just happened to be in the nursery, and as she was changing her child's diaper, she just said, excuse me, where's the diaper pail? And he didn't look up. So then she says, where's the diaper pail? And he looked up and he just pointed to a direction. And that was the end of the story. That's why she left the church. Can you imagine? Because of a diaper pail. So his silence offended her. Then the fact that he said nothing offended her. And you know what? Sometimes we don't even give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe he just experienced something in the morning that day. And it deeply affected him that he didn't even hear her the first time. And then the second time, it's like, oh. And then that's it. They're all hypocrites. How many times do we get offended because of somebody else's behavior? And like I said, you know what, the enemy loves to use the spirit of offense in the church. Wow. Understand, God is testing us with whatever we are going through. God is testing us. Do you pass that first test? The Canaanite woman surely did. She passed the test of Jesus being silent. Ladies, what do? When Jesus is silent with you, what do? Do you get offended? Some of us may feel like, well, you know what? Yeah, okay, I'm going to pray to Jesus. I'm going to pray for this particular situation in 2 or 3 days and no answer. It's been 2 or 3 days. Okay, it's been a week. No answer. You know what? I don't know. I don't think I should pray about this anymore. And you just get offended with the silence. Oh my goodness, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, sometimes we look at other people and we see that, oh my goodness, you know what? Their prayers were answered. And wow, they must have great faith. Let me tell you something. True faith is when your prayer is unanswered and you are still pressing on. Can I say that again? True faith is when your prayer is unanswered and you're still pressing on. True faith is when your prayer is unanswered and you're still pressing on. Oh my goodness, how many times does the Lord use silence in the Word of God? Silence when God did not speak. God did not speak very much in the book of Judges. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was a period of silence, 400 years. Job, with all the things that he went through, all the trials that he went through, God was silent, but eventually he spoke. Abraham, mentioned Abraham before. Abraham was given a promise of a son where that would be blessed through many generations. But that son, it took a while. Abraham had to wait. He was 100 years old till he received that promise. Silence, endure the silence. Can you endure the silence, ladies? Can you press through as you're praying? Remember, God is not silent forever. In this particular story, Jesus was not silent forever. Endure the silence. Pass the test. God will not be silent forever. It's like the calm before the storm. You know, calm, nothing's happening. It's calm. Storm, I'm not talking about the trials, but I'm talking about the torrential rains of blessing that will come afterwards. Oh, he wants to bless you. He's not just going to sprinkle you afterwards with a little bit of mist, with a little shower, but God wants to pour out his blessing. So that's why he wants you to persevere. Pass the test. Did this Canaanite woman not have feelings? Oh, ladies, let me tell you something. We're such creatures of emotion, aren't we? Oh, my feelings got hurt. You know, if this Canaanite woman would have said, you know what, he was cruel with me, he was silent with me, and my feelings got hurt. If she would have just relied upon her feelings, like so often many of us do, where we have our feelings govern us, she would have missed her complete blessing. Double blessing, as we're going to see. But she realized something greater. She realized that her daughter's life was in danger. Her daughter's life depended on it. Why? Because Satan had a hold on her daughter and her daughter needed deliverance. Oh my goodness. Would you have passed that first test? Then let's look at test number two, verse 23. His disciples came to Jesus and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Send her away, for she cries out after us. Oh my goodness. So not only is Jesus silent, and so you figure she walk away. No, she cries out even more. She starts pestering the disciples. And it's like, speak to Jesus, speak to Jesus. You don't understand what my daughter's going through. My daughter's demon possessed and severely demon possessed. And please, yes, I'm a pagan. Yes, I live in a Canaanite country, but you know what? I need Jesus. He's the only one who can help me. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And crying out and crying out. You can only imagine the people in her region thinking, wow, she's lost her marbles. She's not only speaking to a Jew, she's crying out after a Jew. And she's being outlandish and she's crying out. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine test number two? These disciples are very irritated. The disciples were the second test, her next obstacle. You know, if you were to put this in today's scenario, you're there at church. You ask the pastor, help me. He ignored you. He's silent. And then you're going up to the leadership, you're going up to the board members, you're going up to the elders, and you know what, please ask the pastor if he could help me. And you're being persistent, and these people in leadership end up saying, you know what, pastor, please send her away, she's too much. Would you have left the church? Would that be you? Would you have passed that test? Wow. In this particular situation, she passed that test. See, God allows us to get offended. Why? Again, He is testing us. He's testing our faith. She passed those two tests. And what's interesting was that it just didn't stop there. There were more tests to come. Oh, ladies, sometimes that's bad news, isn't it? We think, okay, there's one test after another. I can't take this. There's more to come. Gets kind of discouraging, doesn't it? But you know what? The Lord wants to see what we are made of. Can you surpass those two tests? And so she kept looking to Jesus. You know what? She kept her eyes on Him. She kept being persistent. She kept being desperate. She wasn't going to let go. And so here we see finally in verse 24, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, test number three, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, Jesus is saying to her, you know what? I'm only here for the Israelites. You're a Canaanite. This isn't for you. In other words, the pastor saying, you know what, okay, I'm answering you, but you know what, you're not part of this church. You're an outsider. You don't deserve this blessing. Would you have left by that point? How many of us would have left? How many of us would have left? But I love this. Look at this. How would you handle this situation? This is how she handled this situation. Her response is, in verse 25, then she came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Then she came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Oh my goodness, she passed the test with flying colors. She said, Lord, help me. How many of us would have worshiped under those circumstances? You know what? In this particular test, Jesus gave her an answer, and it could have been offensive. It went right over her head. How many of you can do that when somebody insults you or perhaps says something to you that you don't like and just not gonna let it go over my head? You see, that's what Jesus wants us to do. Just let it go over our heads. But you know what she did? She took it a little further. She fell down and she humbly worshiped Him. And she said, Lord, she addressed Him as Lord, help me, help me. In other words, when things, and here in this situation, she's already could have been offended a couple of times. When your situation goes from bad to worse, what do? You worship Him. When your situation goes from bad to worse, what do? Worship Him. When your situation goes from bad to worse, what do? You worship Him, ladies. This is what God wants you to do. Worship Him. Worship Him. Don't complain. Don't fret about it. Don't get angry. Don't turn your back. Don't walk away. Worship Him. Thank Him. He's in control. He's in charge. He's in charge. He passed that third test. And look at this. Look at verses 26 and 27. But He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. In other words, it's not good to take what is given for, you know, I'm only here for the Israelites. I came here for them. I didn't really come here for the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the Canaanites, were the little dogs. And that's what He was saying. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Test number four. Can you imagine? This was the final test, ladies. He called her a dog. A dog. Can you imagine that? So here, this woman had every reason to get upset. When you think about it, she could have said, you know what? Here I came in front of all the people, all my people, and I'm crying out for you. And I'm saying, help, Help me, Lord. And number one, you just give me the silent treatment. I cry out even more. Number two, the disciples, they just say, oh, send her away. I could have been offended with that. Number three, you end up saying, well, you know what? The blessing isn't for you. You're just kind of not worth it. I could have walked away by that point, but what did I do? I just fell down and worshiped you, Lord. I said, Lord, help me. And then number four, you call me a dog. Okay, I have had enough. I've had enough. See you later. How many of us would have by this point left the church? Never mind leave the church. We would have left Christianity altogether. Why do you think this woman, such a great woman of God? Wow. She endured. You know what? It's almost like Jesus slapped her on the cheek and she gave the other cheek to be slapped again, as the Bible speaks of, that we are to give the other cheek. And you know what? Here she was. She refused to let the offense bother her. You know what? By this point, so many of us, not only when it comes to the church, but when it comes to people, we get so bitter, we get so angry with how people have offended us, how people have hurt us. And you know, instead of dying to our pain, we die in our pain. Instead of dying to our pain, we die in our pain. We become so bitter. We become so angry. Angry, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. There's a reason for that. Don't go to bed angry. There's a reason for that. Why? Because that anger turns into hate and resentment and bitterness, and it leads to further things. It's poison in our souls. It's cancer to us. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Bitterness, resentment. And that's why Nehemiah 8:10 says, and you're going to hear me say this throughout the series, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If the enemy robs you of your joy, you have no strength. So you got to let go of that offense. You got to let go of that bitterness. Otherwise, you can't go forward. Get over it quickly. That's why we see in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Silas, when they had chains upon them in prison, they were singing at midnight and those chains fell off. Ladies, you want those chains to fall off? You got to fall before the Lord, and worship him. Worship him. Let go of the offenses. Leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled with your brother. God is testing your strength. God is wanting to see how far you will go with your faith. And so Jesus calls her a dog. Dog, wow. Dogs in those days were nothing. Nobody regarded dogs. Today, oh my goodness, we love our dogs sometimes more than we love people. And we treat them better than human beings. But he called her a dog. But did she lash out? No, she didn't lash out. Instead, she said in verse 27, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You see, she trusted him. She trusted him. She understood he had the power. She understood he was the Messiah. She was going to press on a little further. It didn't matter. It really didn't matter what her circumstances were. She was hungry. And you know what? So hungry that a little crumb from the master's table will be enough. It'll be a feast. I don't need to have everything. I just want a little crumb, just a teeny weeny bit, Lord. Just a teeny weeny little bit. I know I don't deserve this. I just want a little bit of grace, a little bit of mercy. And that's us, ladies, in our lives. Lord, just give us a little bit of mercy, a little bit of grace, a little bit, just a crumb from your table will be enough. Just mustard seed, the faith the size of a mustard seed. You know how small a mustard seed is. It's teeny weeny weeny. And that's why Jesus spoke about that as a parable, because the tiny, tiny little mustard seed, if you have that much faith, understand that that mustard seed will grow into a majestic tree. And so this crumb that she was so longing for was just enough. And Jesus saw her humility, saw her faith, and he summed her character up with four words. Great is your faith. I tell you something, the greatest words that anybody could ever speak to in your life, God can speak to in your life at the end of your life, for him to say, great is your faith, wouldn't that be the greatest testimony of your entire life? Wow, that's what she said, or Jesus said, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. The crumbs were just enough. He was so impressed with her, so impressed that she passed these tests, that he said, you know what? Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. And not only, you know, the Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections upon the things above and not of this earth. In other words, you know, because she had a spiritual request, she asked for deliverance for her daughter. And because she surpassed those tests, he was so impressed. He said, you know what? Yeah, she's going to be healed. But not only that, you know what? Received salvation. She got a double portion. Her daughter was healed and she received salvation. Oh, ladies, what is the situation that you're facing today? What have you been going through? Jesus is saying to you, press on, press on, pass those tests, put the bitterness aside, you know, put the obstacles aside that are keeping you from getting my blessing. You know, he said to her, great is your faith. You know, even regarding the disciples in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said to his disciples, oh, ye of little faith, he said. His disciples didn't even have great faith, but she had great faith. Wow. Can you let go of your offense in your life? Don't you know that God has something great for you? If she would have stopped right at the beginning and walked away, she would have never been part of the story. That's why the Lord is saying to you, endure, endure. Look what she endured. She loved her daughter so much. She was desperate that she endured the scorn of those that were around her, making fun of her. Oh, she's crying out after a Jew. She endured the fact that Jesus was silent. She endured the fact the disciples were rebuking her and saying, go away. She endured the fact that Jesus said, you know what? You're not really part of this clan. You don't really deserve this. She endured the fact that Jesus said she was a dog. She endured, she endured, she endured. Are you able to endure, ladies? How far will you go in your faith? Jesus wants to say to you today, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Can we pray? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this incredible story of the Canaanite woman. Lord, what a wonderful example, and how she teaches us to pass these tests in life. We have to understand, Lord, that every single thing that we go through, you are testing us. You are wanting us to pass these tests of life. And Father, show us through your Holy Spirit. Give us that discernment that the next time somebody says something to us and tries to offend us, Lord, that we would just let it go right over our heads and just forgive them like you said on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. Let us forgive them. Let us pass the test. Clean our hearts this morning, Lord. Forgive us for those that, Lord, have hurt us and we've held on to resentment. Lord, help us to forgive them. And Lord Jesus, set us free this morning. We want to be used in such a great and mighty way. And we want you to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Great is your faith. And so, Lord, we put our lives into your hands today. Help us to have more hunger for you. Help us to desire you today more than anything else. And above all else, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. And so, ladies, this morning, thank you. Thank you for listening, and let us take these words to heart. Let us, the next time, be more attentive to the things that are happening around us, so much so that we recognize the enemy's devices. Let us not be ignorant of them, and let us be able to pass these tests so that God can take us further into our walk with Him. So join me next time as we're going to talk about another great woman of God. May the Lord richly bless you. And remember, make today count in the kingdom of God. He has so much more for you. Read, pray, delve deeper in the Word of God, and bless somebody. Look to bless someone today.